Good morning to each one gathered together here at Kirkwood this morning. It's been a pleasure worshiping with everybody here again. Especially good to be back home. I felt like I missed a number of services over the last week when I was on our trip. We had a very enjoyable time fellowshipping with the believers at Ridgeview as well. And very growing congregation and very full there as well. And so it's just good to be with them and see a lot of old faces and make some new friends as well that did not know before. For a message this morning, I've chosen to look at the story of Gideon. It's an Old Testament story that we probably have heard from fairly young in our lives. We remember his victory that he had as he fought against the Midianites. And it's something that has always stood out to me, a story that I have enjoyed reading, looking at. And there's even more to the story in the life of Gideon as I studied it a little bit more, read some more of the details there. The part of the story that we know is, a very short time in his life, and we don't have a lot on the rest of his life, but I've just chosen to just take an overlook at the life of Gideon, of what we know, and just see his faithfulness in serving God, calling him through trials or these tests to do some things that were seemingly impossible by man's perspective. It looked like it would never work out. You can turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. It's where we'll start reading here this morning. I'm just going to read Judges chapter 6 at this time and then go down through, pull some different points out of these verses, and then we'll go on and read some in chapter 7, which is also the story of the battle with the Midianites. Judges chapter 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the land till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Now they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you up forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where do all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my father is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, an unleavened cake of an ephod of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, he put the broth in a pot, and brought it unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth, and he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that went in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah and Abiezer. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of the 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, and in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said unto one another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be as a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore on the day he called him Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth round beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, and thou as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wring the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry, only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And the Lord did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. We'll stop reading there for right now. Here at the beginning of chapter 6, we see a little bit of a background to the story of Gideon. You see, Israel had a problem. They were surrounded by their enemies. There was no food in the land, or it had all been destroyed by their enemies. And you can say, why was that? And we see it very clearly here, because they had turned their back on the Lord. And the Lord was judging them for their actions and what they were doing. They were even forced to live in caves and dens, build strongholds. You see, they were hiding in the mountains like animals almost. But we can see that that is somewhat of a result of what happens when we turn our back on God, or when we walk away from Him. God allows us to go to the lowest degree. There's nothing stopping us if we turn our back on God. God is all-powerful, is in control. He still is today, just as He was here in this story as well. And God was judging them. He brought these other countries in, and they were fighting against them, or at least oppressing them, and they had nothing. And so that's the situation in which Gideon finds himself. But yet what's really amazing about this man, Gideon, is it seems, as we read these verses here, he knows who the Lord is. Did he have more of a relationship with the Lord than the rest of Israel at the time? I tend to think he did. Because when an angel came to him, when the Lord appeared unto him, he knew who this angel was. We also see that he fell down and worshiped. I'm actually getting ahead of my notes a little bit. Let me jump back to verse 7. And it says, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. We see that they were in despair and crying out to God, and God heard them. God sent them a prophet, and He was raising up Gideon to be there to bring a victory, to be their somewhat of a leader for a short period of time. But we see that they came to the end of themselves, and then they cried out to God. Same way with us today. We need to come to the end of ourselves and cry out to God. God will hear any soul that is lost. It doesn't matter how long we've been in sin, no matter what type of sin we've been in. It's the thing of crying out to God. We see Israel was in sin for a very long period of time, was involved in lots of types of sin. But yet when they cried to God, God heard them. God hears us this morning too. We are His people, just like the children of Israel were His people. And God has a soft spot in His heart. He has a soft spot for all mankind, but especially for those who are endeavoring to live for Him, especially in the Old Testament setting here for the children of Israel. He cared about them. They were His people. So when they cried to Him, He heard them. Just as a child, just as children, that's the same way it is with God. Just as the children of Israel were crying to Him, it was like His children calling out to Him. And He heard them, and He was willing to do something about it. We go down to verses 11 through 17 is where this angel came to Gideon. And here Gideon was hiding from the enemies. He was threshing. He was hiding some food from the enemies as well that were taking everything from them. As I said before, it seemed like he had some knowledge of who God was, because he realized, first of all, who this angel was. And then he realized that God is high and holy, and that being in the presence of this angel also brought fear to him. So we see that this Gideon, whether this was all part of what happened there in verse 7 of Israel crying to God, maybe that was the point in Gideon's life where he too cried out to God and wanted to go in a different direction. Maybe he had been serving God all along in the midst of the evil and sinful people around him. I don't know that we know exactly how that all came about, but we do know that he was a faithful man and somebody who God could use. Why did God go to Gideon? I think it's because he realized that he would be willing to be used of God. This morning too, when the Lord calls us, are we ready to be used? Or do we have excuses? What the Lord is asking of us may not be as dramatic as what Gideon was asked to do, but we still need to be ready and willing to serve, no matter how small of a task it may be. You see, Gideon here, he had excuses. He said, I'm poor. Or he said, I'm from a poor family and I'm the least of that family. I have nothing to offer. I cannot, why can I lead these children into battle, the children of Israel into battle? He had excuses, but yet the Lord kept working with him, and Gideon was willing, and he took action and moved ahead. We see there in verses 19 and through 24 that as the angel of the Lord revealed himself more to Gideon, that's when Gideon was, he more fully realized it, and he fell down and worshiped. And that was in can't lay my eyes on which verse there it was exactly, but it says that he fell down and worshiped this angel. Again, we see a respect for who God is, and he realized that God was high and holy and somebody that was to be honored and respected and worshiped. So what the Lord or the angel told Gideon to do was to something that was very difficult. It was, first of all, was to overcome or to take care of the idolatry worship that was still happening, the places of worship that were still taking place there in the land of Israel. Something that was not an easy task to do at all. And we see Gideon's fear of doing it. We see his courage to do it. But he did it at night. Again, that's something that always impressed me. He wouldn't be able to do it in the daytime, but he did it at night. And he cut down the trees, tore down the altars, and built an altar to the Lord and sacrificed a bullock. Again, taking care of the root problem of Israel at the time. Also, in one of these verses, as I read across it, the Lord said, I found it interesting. Where the Lord said, if you are afraid, you can take another man with you. I had him by name, and I cannot lay my eyes on that right now either. But the Lord said, if you be fearful, take so-and-so with you. And I just found it interesting that later on in the verses it says that man went with him. There was a sense of fear, and I think most all of us know what that's like. A sense of fear when we're pushed outside of our comfort zone or have a task at hand that is more than we feel we are willing or able to do on our own strength. So there was some support there for him as well. After that was done, the Lord commands him to go to battle against the Amalekites and the Midianites and the Amalekites that were gathered together. And they were many people. They can hear these verses compare them to as grasshoppers. Lots and lots, not able to count them. But God was leading Gideon one step at a time. And the Lord leads us in that way today as well. Oftentimes, as he leads, we are outside of our comfort zone. But Gideon asked God for a sign. And we know how he used the fleece here as a sign. And we could probably discuss this morning whether or not Gideon was truly trusting God, or if that was okay for him to ask for multiple signs time and again. I don't know exactly how that all is. We do know that this was Old Testament. But I think, too, it's how much better if we do not need physical proof that God will be with us and help us. There may be times God does give us more visible signs than others, but most times we need to have faith and move ahead and trust in God. It's just something that we continue to need to grow in. Our human nature likes proof. We like some way of knowing, is this what God wants us to do? And when I believe Gideon felt there was confirmation here, and he moved ahead without many questions beyond that. God continued to test him along the way, and we'll get into that in the next chapter here. Going into the battle against the Midianites, It starts in chapter 7, and I think I'm going to just take the time to read that as well. It's a very interesting story here, how God continued to test Gideon, I view it as a test at least, because God continued to downsize his army, saying, you have too many men, and most of us, or I'm sure Gideon, knowing a little bit about military or war, you know you need a larger army or an equivalent army or a better army if you're going to win. But God kept taking the numbers down, and I'm sure Gideon wondered how in the world we're going to win this battle. But yet he continued to move ahead, and that's the point I want to make this morning, is continue to move ahead with God, even though it may seem unreasonable or may put us out of our comfort zone or seem even impossible by our human nature. Chapter 7, then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianite into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So the people took victuals in their hands and their trumpets, and sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and returned these 300 men, and the host of the Midianite was beneath him in the valley. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. For if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear with what they say, and afterward shall thine hand be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and it overturned, that the tent lay along. For his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered unto your hand the host of Midian. And he delivered the 300 men and he divided the 300 men into three companies, and put a trumpet in every man's hand, and an empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, and all that are with me, they blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pictures that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pictures and held the lamps in their right hands, and the trumpets held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 men blew the trumpets. And the Lord said unto every man's, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even through all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittim in Zereth, and the border of Abel Mahalah and Taboth. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and take before them the water unto Bethbara and Jordan." Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan, and they took two princes of Moabites, Oreb and Zebi, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zebi they slew at the winepress of Zebi, and they pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zebi to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Stop reading there. We see here God was farther testing Gideon because he wanted the children of Israel to realize that it was not of their own strength that they were going to win this victory. God told Gideon he had too many men. And we may say, too many? How can there be too many in a battle like this when there was against multitudes? Men like grasshoppers, their camels were as the sand of the sea. Gideon's army was much smaller. It started out with a smaller group of people, and then God kept making it smaller yet. God asked Gideon to ask all those who were scared to turn back. First of all, anybody who had fear was to go back home. And I'm not sure at that point why not everybody turned back, because I'm sure, because of our human nature, I'm sure there was somewhat of a sense of fear. Maybe it was more of a sense of unbelief that they couldn't have victory. Maybe that was some of the dividing thing there. Because we can have faith in God, but yet we still have that natural human nature of fear within us. Because fear is a natural physical emotion. So Gideon started out with 32,000 men. First of all, this first test here, 22,000 of them turned back, leaving him with only 10,000 men. So his number got divided, and he had less than one-third of what he had started with. But the Lord says, you still have too many. Gotta be less men. It seems like the Lord was trying to somewhat test Gideon, but also show that he was in control, that Israel was not, it was not on their own strength they were going to do this. So there was the test of drinking water by the brook, which left him with only 300 men. So put yourself into Gideon's shoes. The Lord is leading you in a way that is way outside of your own comfort zone. And the wonderful thing about the story is here that God gives Gideon another sign. And I don't see anywhere that Gideon was asking for this sign. But the Lord gives him a sign that they would have a victory. And this is the occasion where I was thinking about where the Lord said, you can take this other man with you and go down to the camp and hear what they have to say. And that was in verse 10 there. He says, in verse 9, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, "Arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host." And he took this servant with him. I just thought it was an interesting thing that I believe there was still a sense of fear on Gideon's part. He was trusting God. He was letting God lead him. But fear was not completely gone. Sometimes we get this feeling that if we truly trust God, if we are truly led by Him, then even our physical emotions will be overcome. And I don't think that's always the case, because here Gideon took this servant with him. It was also at this same point that we just see that Gideon realized who God was, because when he heard this story, he fell down and he worshiped, it says. So this man had a dream, and the interpretation thereof was basically that Israel was going to overcome the Midianites. It was the dream of the barley cake that took down the tent. And it seems like this was an encouragement for Gideon. Because coming into verse 15, "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and he returned unto the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian." Seemed like this was the final confirmation, or it was an encouragement to Gideon. He comes back and gathers his men together and says, "We will win." The Lord once again showed him and proved himself strong. We too today need to remember that it is not by our own strength that we overcome sin in our own lives. We are not without God, and so often we forget that we are. God can give us the strength. God gives us the strength to do anything that He brings our way. God gave Gideon this amazing victory that was only possible by God's strength. 300 men against a multitude. An army that is trained for battle, that has been gone through training. It doesn't seem natural that they would wake up and turn against each other. I'm sure somewhat of similar situations had happened to these men before, where other armies had come on them by surprise. But yet we see the Lord working through it, and the Lord turning the people on themselves. Are we letting God work through our lives and doing more than that is possible on our own strength? Just going into chapter 8, I'm going to jump over a few verses there for lack of time, I just want to go into 8 verses 22 through 28. "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Roll thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also. For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not roll over you, neither shall my son roll over you. And the Lord shall roll over you. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings, because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, We will willingly give them. And they spread a garment, and did cast thereon every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of the Midian, and besides the chains that were about the camels' necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof, and put it in his city, even in Ophrah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted up their heads no more, and the children and the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon." So we see here that Gideon is remembering who gave him the victory. The people, the children of Israel, wanted to make him king, or not king, but a ruler over them because of leading them through this battle, giving them this victory. But Gideon did not want any part of it. He says that neither me nor my son will rule over you, but the Lord shall rule over you. But then he goes and he makes this interesting request of everybody bringing their gold, and the people were gladly doing that. And he brought this gold together, and Gideon makes this ephod and sets it in the city there. Why did Gideon do this? And I'm not sure that I have answers this morning for that. But he did it, and maybe out of ignorance or maybe out of not realizing the problems it would cause, but the people turned towards it and started to worship it again. They went a-whoring after it. And we see it also became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. You would think that the children of Israel, after all they had just come through, the long time of bondage, their amazing victory, that they would realize that God was the one who gave it to them. But they turned back to this tangible thing to worship it. Is that something we struggle with this morning? Do we worship tangible things? I know for myself and my human nature, we like to have things that are tangible. We like to see things that we have in our hands, to put faith and trust into a God we do not see, do not hear, is hard. You know, as I read this story of Gideon in earlier days there, it talked a number of times that God said to Gideon. How was that? How did God say to Gideon? In a very audible voice? Most likely it probably was. It says, God said this to Gideon. God said this to Gideon. For us today, we don't hear in an audible voice from God. You know, it can almost, me reading this as a New Testament Christian, can look back and it looks appealing that God spoke to him. God told him what to do. But yet they still wanted something more tangible. So they made this ephod. We do know that Gideon is in Hebrews 11. Even though we may question some of his actions here at the end of his life and wonder how he can be saved or why this all happened. Yet his name is in Hebrews 11. He was faithful as God led him. It goes on and talks too there in the last few verses there of chapter 8 about his death. He had many sons, 70 sons, and many wives. But yet it does seem that through it all, he was faithful. The children of Israel remember not the Lord their God. I just wanted to read that verses 33. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their God. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Those verses there are very sad verses, but it also shows us too that there was something about Gideon's presence, something about, even though he was not their leader, he refused to be their leader, even though he made this ephod, even though it said it was a snare to Gideon and his household, he still must have had some type of an influence on the children of Israel at the time. Because it seems like at his death, they immediately fell back into their idol worship. They went back to doing just as they had done before when the Lord came to Gideon, or when they cried out to the Lord. So it seems that Gideon had a positive influence on the children of Israel. The couple lessons I see here from the life of Gideon is that God will give us the strength to face whatever test he puts in front of us. Whatever challenge, whatever he asks us to do, he will give us the strength to do it. Even though it may look impossible, even though it may take us out of our own comfort zone. But that leaves us a challenge too, that we must recognize and realize that God is the supreme power and the ruler over all. Who are we to turn our back on him? How can we turn away from him? How can we worship other things around us? Or maybe it's just a lack of worshiping the God that has everything in control. So never forget that God will be there for us. We may be tempted to turn to some tangible things at times, but let's trust in a God, even though we don't see him, may not hear from him audibly, but he is there for us and he will direct us. He will give us the strength we need. Let's kneel together to pray.